good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cuff, he need cut a game.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Ahu, Ho-Trunk Raja, Wakunjahade, Hinga Dena. I just said my name is Distant Thunder, and I'm Ho-Chunk Wendy, and we have a great show today. We're going to have the doctor on, and, you know,
Dr. Anthony Stately,
yes.
And he's going to answer questions for us and give us lots of information.
You know, we discuss local and national Native issues here on the state, on the show, and Native issues are human issues, and human issues our Native issues.
And this portion of the show is brought to you by the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline. You can call them at 651-304-9986. They're open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. for your COVID-19 questions.
We thank you, Pini Gigi. We like to start the show out with Ogulma, and let's listen to Ogulma in the news right now.
Awesome.
Welcome, Ogulma.
Hi, Robert. Thank you for having me as usual. So today I just want to start with a couple of events that are happening surrounding the Line 3 movement. So MN350 and Rise Coalition and Sierra Club of the North Star Chapter are having a two-part event starting tomorrow, January 26th, from 6:30 to 8 p.m. Central Time. They're going to have a public Zoom-based Line 3 webinar briefing on the concern of missing and murdered Indigenous relatives and to understand the most recent task force report in Minnesota and the ongoing epidemic of missing and murdered Indigenous relatives. Then the second part is going to be on Saturday, January 30th, and that part of the program is going to be an hour-long informative program and an outline of the most recent MMIW task force report, and to better understand how policies and to understand the policies of how to hear from Minnesota policymakers to understand how this epidemic is being addressed in legislation. Thank you. Sorry about that. So then on tomorrow night at 7 p.m., there's going to be an event hosted by the Indigenous Environmental Network and also the Sierra Club. That event is going to be also an online event, and it's Build Back Fossil Free on, and it's a digital rally to call President Biden to take bold executive action to end the era of fossil fuel production and protect communities against the reeling effects of climate change and the COVID-19 crisis. You can register for that one online by going to the Indigenous Environmental Network or Sierra Club page. And then the last event that I have to mention for that one is going to be this coming Thursday at 7:30 to 8:30 p.m. And that one is hosted by MN350, Building a Climate Movement in Minnesota. And that one is going to be an ongoing biweekly call to get an update on the status of Line 3 and any upcoming opportunities to get involved to stop it. You can sign up at mn350.org and go to their events and Line 3 action calls to sign up for that Zoom. Oh, and my mistake, there's one more event this coming Friday at Kellogg Park in St. Paul. There's going to be an event there rallying against Line 3 and to defend the rights of treaty rights of the Anishinaabe people and to prevent further climate crisis. That one is also hosted by MN350, so go ahead and check out their website for information about that.
What time is that?
That one is on... Oh, I'm looking for it right now. I have the time. Friday from 3, starting at 3:30 p.m. Central Time and going until 5:30 p.m. Central Time at Kellogg Park.
Just before the show on Friday.
Just before the show on Friday. So that would be an exciting one to go see. Hint, hint, Robert. Hint, hint.
Yeah. definitely, it's close, so why not?
Exactly. So the other interesting piece of news that I have here, too, is that per Indians.com, the director of the Indian Health Service stepped down as of January 20th. Was Michael Wiaki, I think is how you say it. He was asked to step down by President Joe Biden, and he said that request is standard when one executive branch transitions to another. Biden has actually named Xavier Becerra, who is the Attorney General of California and a former U.S. and a member of the former member of the U.S. Congress as his nominee. Becerra actually worked to defend the legality of the Affordable Care Act in California. And I don't know how many people know this, but the Affordable Care Act, or the ACA, actually contains a permanent reauthorization of the Indian Health Care Improvement Act. So that actually could be struck down if the larger part of the ACA was going to be declared unconstitutional. And that case is actually still pending before the U.S. Supreme Court. Oral arguments took place on that one on November 10th of 2020, and a decision is expected before June. And then Becerra's also been a really strong defender of the Indian Child Welfare Act, or ICWA. And that one is also, or has also been seen under the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. And oral arguments for that one actually took place in January of 2020, but there's not been a decision made on that. So I thought those two facts were really, really interesting about Biden's nominee, that he's been working really hard for those things.
Yeah.
And then just another fun fact about Biden here. Biden pulled down a portrait of Andrew Jackson from the Oval Office and instead replaced it with a portrait of Benjamin Franklin and art from an Apache sculptor named Alan Hauser. So for anybody who knows your history, Jackson is commonly referred to as the removal president or the Indian killer because he signed the Indian Removal Act. That one's per Native News Online. And basically, he was the instigator of the Trail of Tears.
That's right. And 45 looked for him down in the basement and pulled that picture up for everyone to see. And it was really sad when he supporting the code talkers and with that picture in the background. So, yeah, good to see that go.
Yeah, I'm happy to see that go, too. And there was a symbolism here that was pointed out by the Sault Ste. Marie tribal chairperson, Aaron Payment. He told Native News Online that the symbolism of the founder, Ben Franklin, is not lost on Indian country. He said that he was one of the intellectual architects of the separation of powers ideology that his writings show originated from the Iroquois Confederacy Great Law of Peace. So that's kind of a fun thing to point out, too,
yeah,
that the replacement is got a little bit of symbolism.
Yeah, and a lot of the laws and government are taken from the Native nations.
Yes, yep, they absolutely are, and it's it feels good when those things are represented, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Well, hey, thank you so much, Peeny Gigi, for all you do. Ogama, is that it for the news?
Ed, that is it for the news.
Well, we're always happy to have Okama on, Wendy. Really excited. And next up, we're going to have Dr. Anthony Stately, and we're excited. We have a lot of things to talk about with him.
Mm-hmm. Can't wait. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, so why don't we take a quick, short break? Or is that a short, quick break?
Short, quick break.
All right.
I
hey,
I like the second one, too. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. Hey, Pinigi, we'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and you will be right back. Yeah.
When we heal from our traumas.
When we face our fears.
Let go of our addictions.
When we relearn our values.
When we live our teachings.
Respecting our elders.
Cherishing and honoring our children.
When we honor and take care of our spirit.
There will be no room left for sexual violence.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Cudahy to everyone. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio Network. In 2017, as a response to the shocking events that transpired at Standing Rock and the lack of accurate and honest information coming from local and mainstream media, we felt we had to do something about it. That is why we created Native Roots Radio, then Pilot's Progressive Party, and finally, the new Native Symposium, We're Still Here. These shows have been supported by local businesses, and as you all know, unfortunately, they are no longer able to support us during this difficult time of the pandemic. This is why I'm here today, to ask you for your support. We feel it is so important to continue to bring this important information to you. Your support will help continue production and airtime costs. So please, if you can, visit Patreon Native Roots Radio Network and help in any way you can. Pinigi, and thank you for your support.
MN350 is a grassroots, volunteer-driven organization fighting for climate justice and a swift transition away from a fossil fuel-based economy. To get involved, visit mn350.org, mn350.org, or find us on Facebook at MN350. Building a climate movement in Minnesota.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Earth Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hare.
And this portion of the show is brought to you by the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline, 651-304-9986. Call them Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. with your COVID-19 questions.
Yeah, we got to call them again. That was fun.
Yeah, it was.
We learned a lot, too. Live radio, what do you say?
I know.
Hey, what happens every Monday?
We have Dr. Anthony Stately on.
We are so excited to have you on. Welcome, and Pinigigi for spending this time with us. We really, really appreciate it. And again, Pinigigi for what you do for the community.
Miigwech. I appreciate the opportunity to be with you tonight.
That's awesome. So, Wendy, you got the notes in front of you, and I'm going to hand a little bit over to you, and you and Dr. have the floor.
Yeah. So, Dr. Stately, whatever you want to talk about first, I know that you had an announcement that you wanted to make, and that you got a phone call today from the governor that you're going to be working with him about the vaccine access system. So either one of those things, but we do want to mention both of them today.
Yeah. Actually, it wasn't from the governor. It would have been great if it was from the governor, but it was from somebody in his cabinet.
Well, that's so the same that thing. From,
yeah, it is. It is.
As far as we care.
Yeah. The governor probably is afraid to call me because I keep him on the phone for a long time. So.
He stopped calling when I wore that No Line 3 shirt.
Oh, well, there you go. That's okay.
That's a different show, though.
That's a whole different show. Yeah. It's got to be a tough position for him. So the governor released an announcement today about changes in the vaccination registration and vaccination process for the community vaccines. So this is for folks who are 65 and over and who are part of the other group of individuals that are sort of kind of from the community who are eligible to get a vaccine. And I think it really was I don't know how many of your listeners, probably a lot of them, hopefully a lot of them, listen to NPR every day. But Jan Malcolm, the health commissioner, and also Chris Ayersman, who is the infectious disease director for Minnesota Department of Health, were on the NPR today talking about all the challenges related to the vaccination rollout and a few other things, and to the pilot. They learned some things from doing the pilot last week. But they are changing up the way in which people register and get for a community vaccine with those large community vaccination pilot centers that they were doing. one of the things that happened last week was if you weren't one of the folks that was lucky enough to actually get through, either through the online portal or through the telephone, you ended up being put on a wait list, and then some of those waitlisted people ended up having to fall off the wait list and those kinds of things. They created a new portal that will go live tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. If you want to encourage your folks to go to min.gov/COVID-19/vaccine/find-vaccine, you will see all of the, you will see the link to all of the information related to the vaccine and how to get an appointment. And they're creating this process where you can get in the queue to get a vaccine and be one of a few people through sort of like a randomized selection process. You sign up to be to get a vaccine if you're in that group of individuals that are eligible right now, and you will you'll get called back or emailed back if you are selected for a vaccine. But once you register, you're sort of like, and if you get waitlisted this week, then you are automatically put on the list for the eligibility for the next week. So you don't have to keep registering. Mm. Parenthetically, you also cannot try to jump the line by registering more than once.
Oh. Were you looking at me when you said that?
So I'm just kidding.
I'm not 65 yet, but I think you were looking at me when you said that.
But the idea here, obviously, is to give everybody the same amount of chance and the same amount of opportunity that that you would get without having to be able to do things like try to cut the line or do mm-hmm. things. And it is significant. I do not have I would not want to trade places with the governor or the health commissioner or the director for infectious disease. This is a really hard situation that we're in. We have more people that need the vaccine than we have vaccine available, and that's exactly. because we get it from the feds. And but we're I would think that in the very near future, within the next couple of weeks, we are going to see some significant correction to this problem coming from the feds all the way down. Mm-hmm. And we'll be able to get more people vaccinated.
Yeah. Very good. So, Dr. Stately, I hear that. So we have a new strain of vaccine
COVID, a variant.
A new variant. And then there's another variant now. So it's mutated twice. Is that my understanding, or am I wrong about that?
Around the globe. Mm-hmm. So there was, I was on a call earlier today with the health department mm-hmm. and all of the tribal health clinics, or all the tribal health leaders, and also the urban leaders. And we got a nice presentation from one of the lead epidemiologists from the state who talked specifically about this. And I think it's because there's a lot of concerns in the community about, you know, well, if I take this vaccine, is it going to be efficacious, and is it going to actually work with any of the strains? So we do have Minnesota verified its first variant of COVID-19 from like that, from the British Columbia, so from England, you know, the one that everybody's been hearing around the globe for a while. That was actually verified, I think, a week ago or so. Today, just this evening, actually, while I was driving, the NPR announced that the state had also verified today the new strain of from Brazil, the Brazilian mm-hmm. strain. Mm-hmm. So we have two variant, but we're not really clear how widespread these two variants are. In the presentation I was in this morning, the state epidemiologists and the scientists who have sort of kind of looked at these variants feel fairly confident, very confident, that the existing vaccines that we have will be very efficacious against the British strain. We have a little less evidence and a little less information specifically about the Brazilian strain. There's also, we know to be true across the globe, that there's an African strain, and I believe, I can't remember where the fourth one is.
Yeah.
They say that's the first thing to go. I think we just lost the doctor. He's frozen.
Okay, I'm going to try to unfreeze him. But and then what we'll do is we'll give him a call back here. And then here we go. Let's see.
It's magical how we do this.
I'm just worried that if we don't get enough, if we get too many variants, and they keep the virus keeps mutating and mutating and mutating before we get everybody vaccinated, then I think maybe we're going to run into trouble. But we could definitely ask the doctor that when we come back and we get him on the phone. So we'll ask him that. And he also had something else that he was going to be talking about, some announcements, and we could do that later on when we come back to break. But I think we just have about, we'll have to look at the clock right now and see how much time we have left. We have about 2-3 minutes left, Dr. Stately. So I'm sorry, let's finish up with what you were saying about that. Yeah.
So there's some emerging evidence that, you know, we know of 4 strains and variants of the COVID-19 vaccine. One of the things that I found remarkable about this talk was that they actually showed a chart of scientists all over the world have been sort of kind of like tracking COVID-19 and looking at the variant strains and those kinds of things. And there was the first variant strain of COVID-19 happened as early as like January of last year. Wow. And so it kind of, that variant strain overtook the original strain, and that's what's actually been proliferating.
Wow.
The globe. And so, but one of the things that's important that your listeners understand is that that's the nature of a coronavirus. Mm-hmm. The flu is an example of a coronavirus. Yeah. There's other viruses. This epidemiologist compared it to other viruses like the flu and HIV, both viruses that sort of like mutate and change over its life course, that have been very difficult to sort of manage at different times. What's different about COVID-19 is the rate at which it is moving across the globe, which is different rate of infection, meaning how quickly it moves throughout mm-hmm. a community or throughout a nation, compared to HIV. HIV, while it continues to be a really difficult disease to manage in many parts of the world, it's less harder to transmit. COVID-19, by comparison, is very easy to transmit. So the more times a virus transmits across hosts, the more opportunity there is for variants to develop. And that's why this is challenging.
Yeah.
So even within the context of developing a vaccine and people getting vaccinated and having larger amounts of people getting vaccinated, it's still important for us to continue to do things like mask up and take precautions until we reach that 70-80% herd immunity, because that's the nature of a virus and its mutation process.
Yeah, exactly. So when we come back, we'll talk about your announcements. And then while we were trying to get you on the phone back again, I was talking about, like, if we don't get everybody vaccinated in time and the virus mutates another 10 times, is it important to get everybody vaccinated before that happens? But we'll talk about that right after these messages.
That's a great teaser there, Wendy. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back with Dr. Stately.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
If you're hurting in your relationship or have been affected by sexual violence, Strong Hearts Native Helpline is a free, confidential, and anonymous domestic, dating, and sexual violence helpline available at 1-844-762-8483 or by using the chat now icon at strongheartshelpline.org. Advocates offer daily support and referrals for resources 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. Central Time.
This message is sponsored by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center.
Hazel's Northeast is back and offering some of the most creatively prepared comfort food you'll find. Delicious breakfast options include the slow-cooked brisket hash, chicken fried steak, and the famed drunken banana French toast. Or for lunch and dinner, there's Swedish meatballs, wild rice gumbo, and more. Hazel's Northeast is open Wednesdays through Saturdays, 8 to 8, and Sundays, 9 to 2. Hazel's Northeast delivers real good food. Family-owned at 29th and Johnson in Minneapolis. Make your reservation now at hazelsne2go.com.
You've heard the screamers, you've heard the shouters. Well, now it's time to listen to a real conversation. Now it's time for The Rick Unger Show.
Weeknights from 8 to 10 p.m. on AM 950.
MN350 is a grassroots, volunteer-driven organization fighting for climate justice and a swift transition away from a fossil fuel-based economy. To get involved, visit MN350.org, MN350.org, or find us on Facebook at MN350. Building a climate movement in Minnesota.
Hi, it's Tom. Solar power is more important than ever as a long-term investment for yourself and your community. And that's why I trust All Energy Solar to provide a cost-effective, environmentally friendly energy system. But several key incentives that make solar available will be sunsetting in 2021. So now is the time to get your solar project on the books. All Energy Solar can walk you through the process using their zero-contact virtual evaluation process. Financing options are available to those who qualify. So go green and start saving at allenergysolar.com today.
We have vital information we would like to share with you. The Department of Indian Works St. Paul partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health to open the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline. They provide information on testing sites, isolation space, vaccines, housing assistance, and food resources. If you or someone you know has questions about COVID-19 or has questions to determine if you should get tested, please call them at 651-304-9986. Again, the number is 651-304-9986. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline is open for calls Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m.
Call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline at 651-304-9986. That's 651-304-9986.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for cloudy skies tonight with a low around 6. Tuesday partly sunny with a high near 17. Wednesday sunny with a high near 15. And Thursday partly cloudy with a high near 20. Located just north of 50th and France, the Great Wall Restaurant has been providing a delicious taste of authentic Chinese cuisine since 1981. They offer one of the most extensive Chinese menus in the Twin Cities, and they have takeout available too. Learn more about the Great Wall Restaurant at eatlocalminnesota.com.
Anin, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Wick, and it's great to hear the Lieutenant Governor always introduce us. I asked her to do that, and it's awesome to hear her. Peggy, yeah. We always think about you, and it's a great thing. Hey, we're here with Dr. Stately, and wow, what a great show already. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Dr. Stately, let's finish our conversation. I was just saying, like, what popped into my mind is if this virus mutates another 10 or 20 times before we get everybody vaccinated, do you think that will lead to problems, or do we not have that much information yet?
Well, I think that it's still important for people to get the vaccination. And mm-hmm. I think it's important for us to do as much as we can mm-hmm. to try to slow down the ability for the virus to transmit and go through multiple iterations or permutations, you know, and kind of like mutate into other things. Mm-hmm. I think one of the, and you're a pharmacist, and like when we were on the commercial break, they're talking about your own experience of being a pharmacist and working in the HIV field. So you mm-hmm. understand mm-hmm. how difficult it has been historically from a global pandemic perspective to develop a treatment protocol and mm-hmm. something to sort of kind of slow down the virus and keep it from sort of burgeoning out of control when it mutates, mm-hmm. when it mutates slowly like HIV did. Mm-hmm. And it's not that HIV necessarily mutates any at a slower rate than COVID. What's happening is, you know, that once I get the virus and it's living inside my body, it might mutate in a specific way or might just stay in its original form. Mm-hmm. And then if I transmit that virus to somebody else, they become a new host to that virus. And then that virus has an opportunity to sort of like develop a different sort of like response in that mm-hmm. person's system. That virus might mutate, it might stay the same, and those kinds of things happen. Right. We don't have a lot of knowledge or expectations about how that's going to happen. But mm-hmm. here's what we do know is that unlike HIV, which is actually, I used to tell people that it was really, really hard to get, and they would kind of scratch their head and be confounded by that.
Yeah.
Comparatively to COVID-19, it is very difficult for you to contract HIV. You have to engage in some very specific behaviors. Mm-hmm. COVID-19 is kind of out there in the air, hanging in the air. Unless you take some precautions, you're going to be vulnerable to it. So what we want to do is get as many people vaccinated as quickly as possible to slow down that transmission rate and to slow down the rate in which it can have the possibility to mutate. Because there are some, and then there's vaccines that are coming that work on different parts of the cell and the immune response. So we're going to have an arsenal of things to sort of work with against it, kind of the same way we sort of developed an arsenal of ways to sort of respond to HIV, right?
Yeah.
We eventually got there. It just like, it took us a while to get there. The difference between now and then also is that
And that was really important.
Right.
Oh, no.
So part of the difference, I think, is that the government is really behind this, meaning that they're really supporting this, where I think back when HIV first came out, Wendy, mm-hmm. The government was in denial about it. And I think we needed like
The government was in denial about COVID, too.
Well, no, but not now. Not now, and
well,
I think that's what
now,
we're
but
talking
for,
about
for a while.
And only parts of the government, like POTUS, was like totally. God knows what happened with
exactly.
him, you know.
Exactly.
And so,
but really, with HIV today, people just take one pill once a day. And hi, Dr. Stately. And they're great. They're undetectable. Their virus is undetectable. They could live normal, happy lives. You know, women who have HIV take medications and they give birth to nice, beautiful, healthy babies.
Right.
So we're...
And Johnson & Johnson's coming out with a one shot in 2 or 3 weeks, I heard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Johnson & Johnson is one pill for the COVID vaccine. And what you're hearing, the dialing is... There we go. I think we got him. It's connected.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hi.
Yeah. Hi. Sorry about that.
No problem.
Good.
It's awesome.
Good.
It's live radio. We're just like grooving on
this. Yeah, this is live.
This.
So
I got to use my BS skills, and I was just BSing with Wendy. So now we got the truth here.
I was talking about HIV because that's what I know. So I was just saying, you know, most people just take a one pill once a day regimen. They do really well.
Yeah.
They become undetectable. Yeah. They live long, healthy lives. Mm-hmm. You know, we have women who are pregnant who have HIV. As long as their viral load is undetectable, they give birth to beautiful, healthy babies. And it's not a death sentence anymore. So it's a controllable disease.
And I think that what's different about our situation now with HIV, like, you know, we have to remember, like, when HIV started happening, like almost 40 years ago, right?
Wow.
We were in a different place with our technology too.
Yes.
So we're light years ahead of the game here with our technology and our understanding of the human genome and how certain diseases work. And, you know, that's why we were able to develop a vaccine within lightning speed, warp speed, as it's called, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because we are light years ahead of where we were 30, 40 years ago with vaccine development.
Well, we were kind of arguing, and I thought back in the 80s too, when HIV first came out, that the government was way in denial about what was happening, and then they got rationalized what was happening. But you make a great point that our science is way ahead.
Yeah. It's interesting that our government hadn't changed much, right? So
yeah, that's what Wendy was saying.
And I hate to be political about it, but if you remember, like the Republicans were in control when HIV broke out too. So.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Reagan.
Yeah. I didn't realize that.
Ronnie Reagan. You know,
as interesting as it is, it would be great if we as human beings could evolve and mutate as quickly as viruses do, because that would be really make us some smart individuals and learn from life's lessons. But I think the really critical thing here is that we encourage people to get the vaccine. Before we run out of time, I want to plug this survey that I forwarded you the link to, and you can hopefully post it on your website.
It's
an opportunity for Native people all across the nation to participate in a national survey. It's a needs assessment to sort of kind of understand what are the needs and that are going on in tribal communities, both urban and rural, and on reservation communities. It's being conducted by some good friends and colleagues of mine back in the University of Washington at the Indigenous Wellness Research Institute. And they're not just looking at the needs, they're also asking questions about like what are the community's resiliencies, what are our strengths and the things that we're bringing to the table to sort of respond to this crisis in their communities and their families and individually, right? This is information that they're going to kind of put together and assemble, and they're going to give information to both Congress and also to other tribal leaders and health communities and other communities all around the country with respect to how to help their communities respond better to the needs around COVID-19. And so I think it's a really great opportunity for people all over your listeners all over the country to sort of like give their voice and give their feedback about COVID-19 and their experiences of it. It's a simple survey. It should take less than 30 minutes to do, and you'll get a $10 gift card of some type. I think obviously electronic gift card. And then you're going to get entered into a drawing to win some really cool swag, like a free pair of NBKs, sevens, or a sewing machine. I think they're going to give away a sewing machine too. So if you like to sew ribbon shirts or regalia, you might score there. So.
Put those AIM patches on my jean jacket.
There you go.
Nice. Definitely.
That's awesome.
That is awesome. And we'll put those links up there, because I know a couple people have asked about the links, and we'll get those up. Normally, Ogama's on that.
Yeah, I could do it.
Yeah.
I'll put it on our Facebook page. We get a lot of traffic on that. And then the Facebook Live page, I'll put it up on that as well. That's fantastic. Yeah. You just have to be 18 years or older. And
yep.
Yeah,
they're
perfect.
I think they're really hoping they hear from some younger people, because they're an often overlooked group too. So between the 18 and like 26, 27 year olds.
Yeah.
So.
They're all in their own world going, they're out and about doing their own things. So.
That's sad that 26 is young. I remember when I was old and I was 26.
Right?
Now I'm like grandpa to 26 year
old. Yeah, we are.
Jeez.
Yeah, but Robert, 50 something is the new 20 something.
I got my fingers crossed.
Yeah,
there you go.
But I'm a few months from 60, believe it or not. I know I look good, except for this white beard. But
you look very well.
Hey.
You look really good.
All right,
so, I'm right on your heels though. So
yeah. Well, Wendy's leading the way, but I won't say how old she is.
I'm older than Robert. Yeah.
I married an older woman. I know, it's crazy. Well, doctor, thank you so much for your information. Give a quick minute shout out here to what you want people to take with them while your segment ends.
I want to encourage people to, remember a couple of different things. One is, we are resilient people. We've been around for a really long time. Mm-hmm. And we've survived significant things over the last 100 or few years, 500 years since contact. And we've been able to do that because we trust our intellect and our intelligence, our gut, and we rely on Creator and Spirit and prayer. And so use all those things to make good decisions, rational decisions, and decisions that make the most sense for you and for your family. And I think that if you rely on those things, you'll make very good decisions for yourself and your people you love.
Wow.
That's great.
Really
way.
Good advice.
Great way to
love it.
Peeny Gigi, Dr. Stately, for coming on. You're listening. Wow.
We'll see you next week on Monday.
Yeah, right on. Hi, Jioni.
You guys have a good night.
All right. Bye. We'll see you soon.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. So, wow, Dr. Stately, awesome again, mm-hmm. you know.
Yes, and if any of your questions weren't answered, you could always call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline.
Right.
So give them a call.
And then things are changing mm-hmm. all the time, too. I saw, you know, Lieutenant Governor, she was up there talking about it. You know, schools and everything are changing. Mm-hmm. So it's great to have this information, mm-hmm. this up-to-date information, Wendy.
It is up-to-date. I mean, Dr. Stately is on the phone, you know, with people all over the United States with updated information. And then he comes on our show on Monday yeah. and he's able to share that information with us. So
he could have lied and said the governor called him.
What a great resource here. But we're going to go and we'll be back after these messages.
Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back.
Robbins Kaplan LLP protects and defends American Indian tribes. With its American Indian law and policy practice, Robbins Kaplan LLP seeks to redefine excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country. Founded and led by former United States attorneys Brendan Johnson and Tim Purden, their American Indian law and policy practice exists to bring justice to tribal clients whose claims in the past have been dismissed or ignored due to their underdog status. Their American Indian law lawyers understand the challenges tribes face when state and local government infringe on tribal sovereignty and the federal government neglects its trust responsibilities. Their passion for tribal sovereignty and self-determination is the driving force behind their practice, fueling their tribal advice and advocacy, especially when tribes are forced to litigate against powerful interests. Robbins Kaplan LLP, representing American Indian tribes, tribal government boards and commissions, individual tribal members, and American Indian business and business concerns. For more information, visit robbinskaplan.com.
Rudy Luther Toyota's top-notch service department will keep your car ready for winter driving. Now through the end of January, get a Toyota TruStart battery replacement and installation with 24-month roadside assistance coverage for as low as $139.95. Offer excludes hybrid batteries. Also, Rudy Luther Toyota has your oil change and filter. 5 quarts with conventional oil is $39.95, and 5 quarts with synthetic is $61.95. These deals run through January. Get the service and maintenance you deserve at a great price at Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Jay Selby's, an airy plant-based cafe serving up American classics, nestled in the heart of St. Paul in the historic Cathedral Hill neighborhood at 169 Victoria Street. Jay Selby's serves great plant-based food and only plant-based foods, where customer service is a priority and a comfortable, cool space for like-minded people to gather and enjoy a sustainable, environmentally friendly, and compassionate meal. As the Star Tribune writes, Jay Selby's is an innovative vegan restaurant that does a spot-on Big Mac. It's a good day for good food.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
We are a Lucent Nation.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
I love singing along to the bumper music. We're going to talk about horses today on my section of the sacred animal section of our...
I'm sorry, when you had that piece of paper like that, I thought you were going to say something like this portion's brought to you by. So I missed that cue. This is Wendy, and she speaks on her animal issues, and she's been doing this for over 3 years on the radio, and she talks about her sacred animals, and it's always enlightening, and she always has some great information, and geez, now it's 5 days a week, and you have 5 days worth
I know, but believe me, you know what, Robert, there's a hidden war on animals in this country and around the world. And I have the great privilege and opportunity to find out what's going on, bring it to light, right? Talk about it on the radio and then expose it and then fight to make it better. So that's my purpose in life now
That's
that
awesome.
Now that I'm retired. But I wanted to talk about horses today because I found a really interesting research article about horses and about our wild horses here in the United States. And I had no idea that we had so many wild horses running around the United States.
Wow.
They are in certain areas, but research is taking DNA from the horses now and looking at horses that were from 20, 50,000 years ago.
Wow.
To see how well they're related. Because the problem is I'm going to get the name of this place here. It's the U.S. Bureau of Land Management and other proponents of wild horse roundups. They're claiming that the iconic animals that we're talking about right now are an invasive species.
What?
Exactly.
Because they brought them here?
No, actually.
Because horses aren't from this continent, right?
Well, that's what they're trying to find out.
Talking to elders, though, and native people, mm-hmm. they are. And so I hear mm-hmm. back and forth on that.
Yeah. So right now they are from here. But they say a lot of the horses came over from the Bering Land Bridge, which was a bridge. It's a theory, right?
That
it's a land bridge used for human and animal migration 200,000 years ago, right? And it
that's
connected.
Saying natives are Asian, and that's.
Right, but
totally.
No, I'm just saying it's. So this is how the horses are getting, how the horses got here from Europe and from Asia. That's all they were saying about that. But this management, the U.S. Bureau of Land Management, what they want to do is round up these wild horses. And kill them and sell them off to kill breeders who send them elsewhere. And then their meat is used, for human consumption in other countries in the world.
Wow.
Yeah.
My eyes twitching. Wow.
But anyway, with this research that they're doing, a research by Dr. Alyssa Vershina and Beth Shapiro documents the long and complicated history of the horse in North America, tracking ancient horse remains from North America to Eurasia. I never knew Eurasia meant Europe and Asia.
Like your mama? No.
I don't know. You know, I have, I don't have really good vocabulary, but anyway, I had to look it up. So anyway. But the scientists are working on this project. They use the DNA extraction from well-preserved horse remains from countries across the Bering Land Bridge from Serbia to Yukon. And they explored how many horses crossed this prehistoric bridge during the times it was passable over the course of millions of years of evolutionary history. And I know you're shaking your head, Robert. But anyway, I'm really worried about the animals here. The reason why they're doing in this research is because so that they could prove that these animals are iconic animals and that they've been here for years and years and years. And they could prove that their DNA shows that, right? And there's a reason why we should save the horses.
Why don't these people just do their job? Why is it first thing they want to do is wipe out a whole thing?
Guess why? Horses.
To feed people?
Because the horses are ruining the land water that can be used for cattle.
Oh.
Right? So there's lots and lots of horses. They're ruining the land. They're eating all the grass. They're polluting making the waters dirty.
They're hungry.
Well, that's right. They have a right to live there, right? They were there first, but the ranchers want to get rid of all the horses so the cattle can go there so that they could kill the cattle so you could have a steak.
Is there such thing as ranchers still, or aren't these corporate organizations?
I think ranchers out some places, but most of the meat that people buy in the grocery store, 99% of it comes from factory farms. And I was very surprised to hear. You want to know how many wild horses there are in the United States right now?
How many?
95,000.
And where are they mostly?
Mostly in Nevada.
And it's hot there.
It is very hot. Half of that amount is in Nevada. And today there are 36,000 wild horses in cruel holding pens. They're in holding pens that they were rounded up with helicopters, and it was very cruel. And now they're in these holding pens in Palomino Valley in Nevada and Susanville in Northern California. So these horses are sitting there, sometimes with no food, no water, in the heat, without shade. And somebody, we don't know who, is going to decide their fate and find out what's going to happen to these horses. And again, most of them are sold to kill buyers. They're called kill buyers. And these men, or I guess it could be a woman too, come and buy the horses per pound. And they take these animals. Some of them are even flown in an airplane alive to different countries and slaughtered in different countries.
So
I have pictures of it. I can show it to you.
Don't. There's an organization, or the people that are making the decision. This is
the U.S.
a presidential
Bureau of Land Management and other proponents.
So this is a presidential.
Got to talk to President Biden.
Yeah,
U.S. Bureau of Land Management, and they're it's short for BLM, like Black Lives Matter.
Yeah.
No, I'm serious.
I know.
I'm serious.
Well, we need to keep an eye on that because it's ridiculous. And this is how we want to treat our other beings and relatives.
Exactly. And horses aren't invasive species. What would you consider an invasive species? Like carpenter ants are an invasive, or termites. That's an invasive species.
Flying carp.
Not a horse.
Right. Exactly. So people need to do their job, Wendy. They need to, like, you know, there's other ways other than killing them. You can shoot them with a pellet gum and gun, and maybe, you know, just
right.
So
but
they're
the
not
American
breeding.
Wild Horse Campaign is working on this research, and they're fighting for our horses. So go to the American Wild Horse Campaign, and you could look up what they're doing, the research that they're doing, why they want to help the horses, and you could donate to them if you wanted to.
Right, exactly. Hey, before we leave, to Pini Gigi, for all you do and all you speak, the truth you speak about our relatives with today, it's with hooves and hooves and a tail. I just want to give a quick shout out before we end the show, Wen, is that we need to call Stauber's office, and he needs to change his vote. Racism is live and well here in Minnesota, and we have Representative Stauber trying to stop Deb Haaland from running. So
I signed a couple of petitions online. There's a lot of petitions out there that you could sign. The letters will go to Klobuchar and Tina Smith, who's our senators, to do that very same thing. So just Google. You could Google it and find it.
We'll get Ogilma to put it up when she's working again.
Okay, good.
Hey, I would like to end with these thoughts. If you're listening to this show, you are part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. I want to thank all the guests that were, Dr. Stately that was on. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. We are still here. We are the seventh generation.
Free Leonard Peltier.